Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. According to what I've just been told, here's the podcast for the Early Morning Late Show. Enjoy our conversations. All right, let's try to make sense of what's going on in the world. It's 4 minutes after the hour. Welcome to Tuesday. It is April 24th, and I read stuff, and I think, uh-oh, what are we going to do with this? Let's start with Scripture, though. That's where we should start. Hebrews 5:7 says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Rebecca's shaking her head. Yeah, that is a good one. All right, we've got states hitting new unemployment lows, which is great. In March, 8 states saw new record lows, including Hawaii, which I guess if you go there, that's about the lowest unemployment rate around. Idaho, Kentucky, Maine, Mississippi, Oregon, Wisconsin, all extremely low unemployment. That's good news. And every time I read that, I think, well, the economy must be moving in the right direction. Some good things are happening. And then this made me laugh. Penn State says wilderness is too risky for outdoors clubs. Sounds made up, doesn't it? A near-century-old recreation club will now refrain from going outside because it's too dangerous out in the wilderness. All right. Maybe Rob Bluey can figure this one out. He's on our studio line, so we're going to talk to him a little bit. After about a minute break, we'll be back with Rob Bluey, editor of the Daily Signal, and my Washington, D.C. correspondent. Be right back. It is 7 minutes after the hour. It always makes me very happy when Rob Bluey comes on the show. Always look forward to our conversations with the very editor-in-chief himself of the Daily Signal. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning.
Well, nice to hear your voice. You know, I look at this Democratic lawsuit and I think, huh, are they trying to keep their base fired up? What is the point of this?
Well, it certainly seems to be that is the point. They recognize that this is going to be a rare opportunity to hopefully score some political points and make some sizable gains in Congress during the midterm elections. Of course, you know, the president's party often fares poorly, regardless of who the president is. That was certainly the case for Barack Obama, and I think the Democrats are doing everything that they possibly can to keep the issue alive and make sure that their base is fired up, as you said.
Mm-hmm. Now, Rob, when I get up in the morning, I always want to race to find out what Kanye West is thinking.
Yes. I'm sure that's the first thing you're looking for.
So now is he saying, I do support the president, and he's just going to take the heat? What is he doing?
Yeah, so what Kanye West did was, in a weekend tweet, he said that he loves the way that Candace Owens thinks. Well, mm-hmm. Candace Owens is a young African-American millennial who is not afraid to speak her mind and talk about conservative values, and also how President Trump's policies, in her view, have benefited the African-American community. So she has quite a history. She's a regular on Fox News and speaking on college campuses. So Kanye's tweet certainly set off a firestorm, because a lot of people who figure probably Kanye's a, you know, knee-jerk liberal from Hollywood, you know, who how dare he have anything nice to say about conservatives? So not only is Kanye in the middle of this, but Candace, whom we interviewed at the Daily Signal just a month ago, finds herself now in a position where she's being called every name in the book.
Yeah, and she's a highly entertaining person.
Oh, she certainly is, and I think the thing that's so admirable about it, she works for an organization called Turning Point USA, and Turning Point USA, their mission is to go onto college campuses and really provide that support system and show conservatives that they're not necessarily this minority, that maybe they really are the silent majority. And Candace is the one leading a lot of that charge. So Kanye's tweet, in which she referenced her by name, certainly gives her a higher platform to hopefully spread this message and carry it to new communities who might otherwise not have heard it.
Mm-hmm. Rob, did you interview her or someone else from the Daily Signal?
I did interview her.
Oh, cool.
And we spoke specifically about why she believes that the president. I interviewed her at this event at the White House with millennials, and so she was there. She was right there in a meeting room with President Trump. So she obviously supports the president and thinks that the policies that he's pursuing have helped the African American community. Of course, on President Trump's watch, the unemployment rate for blacks has hit an all-time low, and it's something that the president has called out. And I think that it's a statistic that some in his administration feel that he deserves more credit for than probably he's getting.
Mm-hmm. All right, what's the latest with Mike Pompeo?
Yes, so surprise move yesterday by Senator Rand Paul gave Mike Pompeo a slight victory coming out of committee. We expected that Rand Paul was going to oppose the nomination based on some comments that he made, which would have meant that the Senate Foreign Relations Committee would have not favorably reported out his nomination. This was a pretty rare thing to happen on Capitol Hill, particularly since the party in charge, Republicans, do have a majority. So what it means now is that he's headed to the Senate floor. He could have a vote later this week. Of course, it's a high-stakes position because you have the North Korean negotiations coming up. You have a number of Democrats who are trying to angle and position themselves for a potential run in 2020, in Elizabeth Warren or others in the Senate, Bernie Sanders. And so there are a handful of Democrats, though, who come from states that Trump won, like Joe Manchin of West Virginia and Joe Donnelly of Indiana and Heidi Heitkamp of North Dakota, and they have all said that they're going to support Mike Pompeo. So it appears that he will get the majority that he needs to become the next Secretary of State.
Mm-hmm. Rob, what are you thinking about this possible discussion that is going to happen between Trump and KJU?
Yeah, it's a really one of those things where I think the American people are probably optimistic that that the president could finally perhaps turn this relationship around.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that they rightfully should be skeptical as well. I mean, we've been down this path before with North Korea, and it's one of those situations where the Kim regime seems to be playing all the right cards at this point, but once they get into the room, we'll actually see how much they're willing to give up when it comes to developing these nuclear warheads. And so I think that it's a perilous moment for the president, and there's a lot of high risk associated with a meeting like this. And if anybody could pull it off, though, it might be the man who wrote The Art of the Deal. I mean, he's certainly somebody who thrives in situations like this.
Yeah. All right, Cuba's new boss, is it Castro Brothers 3.0?
It certainly seems to be that way. I mean, despite the fact that there was a changing of the guard in Cuba, Raul Castro is still in very many ways not disappearing from the scene. So, it's a new face, but largely the same policies, and that's unfortunate for the Cuban people. I mean, they've lived in this repressive regime for so many decades, whether it was under Fidel Castro's rule or later his brother. And so I think it's a situation where the United States, has to continue to keep focused on this. I mean, obviously we have done numerous things to try to, bring about freedom for the people who live there, and one of those things that we've told the story about at the Daily Signal is Radio Marti, which is a program that broadcasts to the island to hopefully give the people there some insight into the things that are happening in the rest of the world and an idea of what freedom and democracy looks like.
Yeah, the report is, though, that the gospel is exploding over there, which is encouraging.
It is. It certainly is. And of course, for many years under Castro, that probably would not have happened. But, I mean, look, technology is really changing how people consume information. And you know, this is an island where I remember getting a briefing a few years ago where they were airdropping cell phones and other wow. Devices, so people could actually have access to information, whether it's the Bible or whether it's just basic news about what's happening in the world.
Mm-hmm. Rob, I read an article, I think it was yesterday, that said a third of children 6 and younger have a smartphone. How do you regulate your kids using phones or screens when you want some peace and quiet?
Yeah, well, certainly my kids don't have their own phones, and they're 6 and 9, so I guess we're part of the two-thirds that don't. But yeah, it is a challenge. I mean, let's face it. I mean, the kids of all ages gravitate towards these devices, whether it's a phone, whether it's an iPad, whether it's a Kindle. It's something that when I was growing up, when you were growing up, I mean, that option didn't exist. And so we try to monitor it very closely, set limits. There are obviously some apps on there that are educational. In fact, for my kindergartner, the teacher said, here, if they're going to use it, we recommend these types of things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that as long as it's done in moderation and you're
overdoing
it, that's the approach to take.
All right, Rob, let me take a break. When I come back, I want to ask you about what the federal government is doing with the Native American tribes. It feels like they're getting a bad deal. I want to ask you about that. It's 16 minutes after the hour. Rob Bluey is my guest, and we love him. Be back in a minute. It's 18 minutes after the hour. Rob Bluey is my guest, editor-in-chief of the Daily Signal. And so look forward to him and on Tuesday mornings. Rob, I'm wondering about the Native Americans. Has the government, are they restricting the land that they get to use, which is their own land?
That is true. I'm so glad that you raised this topic because there's two things I want to focus on. A recent story from the Daily Signal, which looked at the lands, but also, let's talk about the schools that that Native Americans attend as well, because I think both are tied together. And yes, you're absolutely correct. The federal government has overregulated Native American lands to the extent that tribes are unable to develop the resources on those lands. Some really startling statistics. Back in 2012, under President Obama's administration, the Department of Interior estimated that Indian lands could produce 5.35 billion barrels of oil, 37 trillion cubic feet of natural gas, and 53 billion tons of coal. I mean, that is a tremendous amount of resources on those lands. But because of the way that the federal government currently operates and oversees those lands, they're really off limits. Even tribes that would like to develop those lands and put to use some of those natural resources are unable to do so.
That's amazing, but I can see how they are interfering. It's a lot of resources, a lot of potential money there, isn't there?
It certainly is, and I think the other factor that you come in is when you lack the ability to develop your own land, you're faced with a situation where you might not have the resources to do other things. So one of the other ideas that my colleagues at the Heritage Foundation have really advocated for is the opportunity to give more educational choice to Native American students, because the Bureau of Indian American Schools are among the worst run in America, and it's really not fair that these students are stuck in schools that are underperforming and not at the same level as other public schools. So
mm-hmm.
By giving students that choice, and we're doing the same thing when it comes to military families as well, it really helps so many people in many positive ways.
Rob, when you open the paper and you see the story of what happened in Toronto yesterday, what goes through your head?
Yeah, well, I mean, the first thing is, I mean, just sadness for those who lost their lives or were injured. You put yourself in that situation where all of us could just be going about life and a tragic situation like this occurs. From what I've been able to gather, and maybe there's some new information this morning, but it's still unclear what the motive was. So, do you have a situation where there was a, was it a terrorist act? Was it something else? But yeah, I mean, it just, I think, goes to show how precious life really is, and how every day, you know, you really need to live life to its fullest, because you never know when something like this is going to happen.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I'm just wondering if you're starting to feel like, oh, another episode of a guy in a van mowing down people on a street. I mean, I'm already starting to wonder how common this is going to be, and how dulled I'm starting to almost feel with these kind of incidents. It's like, oh, there's another one.
Yeah, exactly. Because look, these, you know, even in places where you don't, I mean, look at the situation in London. I mean, it seems that we've talked in the past about gun control and steps, and I just think that no matter what you do, people will resort to some sort of tool, whether it's a car, whether it's a knife,
right,
as we've seen the explosion of knife attacks in London, to do harm to other people. And it's really sad and unfortunate, and you hope that these people, if they do are suffering from a mental illness, can have the support of friends and family and get to the resources they need, you know, even as we saw here in Tennessee with the Waffle House shooter and some of the problems that individual was encountering. So you're absolutely right, Bill. We do live in a dangerous world, and that's why I think, you know, we need to be vigilant. It's one of the most important reasons why I think, you know, the Department of Homeland Security and others who have these programs that are set up to hopefully catch bad actors before they take action can hopefully thwart some of these attacks. And we've documented well over 100 of them, terror plots, since 9/11, and many of them have been thwarted. We simply don't read about them because they never happen.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Rob, so we've talked about this a little bit, but I'd like to get your take on your thoughts on the recent Supreme Court case with Neil Gorsuch, more or less leaning with the progressive judges.
That's right. It was a surprise to many, given how Gorsuch voted. But it's not necessarily out of character for Neil Gorsuch, because some legal scholars point back to the fact that he's actually voted in the same vein that Antonin Scalia, whom he replaced on the Supreme Court, would have voted. And so, yes, the case dealt with in the Immigration and Nationality Act, which, you know, was the debate in the this particular case had, you know, what could the government do to remove somebody who was a legal immigrant. And so Gorsuch's decision has certainly prompted some concern, because look, we've been through this before with John Roberts and Obamacare, and I think that one case does not necessarily define the justice, though. And in the first year that he's been on the bench, certainly Justice Gorsuch has ruled in many ways with conservatives, and it's the one thing that I think Mitch McConnell can point back to as the importance of Republicans retaining control in the Senate, because if they lose that control, those judges that the president sends there will not get the favorable reporting. We started this interview talking about Mike Pompeo. There's a whole lot of changes that will take place next year if Republicans don't have control. And let's face it, the other thing that we're looking at is a possible Supreme Court retirement. Many of the justices are getting up there in age. This is the time of the year coming up in May and June when justices typically decide if they're going to retire, and Anthony Kennedy or somebody else might step down, which would set up a big battle for later this year.
Boy, no kidding. Say, how much longer do you think Robert Mueller will have a job?
Well, if Rudy Giuliani has a job, probably not much longer. The president brought on Giuliani to his legal team last week with the goal of ending the investigation as soon as possible. I think one of the encouraging developments for the president was Rod Rosenstein's announcement that the president was not the subject of the recent investigation. So certainly that probably should give some encouragement to the president. But at the same time, let's face it, this is a situation where, as we said earlier, the Democrats hope this goes on for as long as possible, and efforts to try to shut it down early are only going to be met with some political cries of wrongdoing on one hand, and then probably joy on the other.
Yeah. Rob, thanks so much for being on the show. I always look forward to having you come on to the program, and I love your expertise and your energy and all of that. So thank you so much.
Thanks, Bill. It's great to be with you.
Yeah, thanks. Have a great day. It is exactly 26 minutes after the hour. We're going to take a little break and go to Ken Davis and then some news. Got a great hour coming up. Stay tuned. All right, it is half past the hour. We're going to take a little news update. That's next. And then Dr. Rosemary Stein's going to be with us. So we'll be back with her in about 8 or 9 minutes.
Starting your day with faith, hope, and clarity. The Early Morning Late Show with Bill Arnold on Faith Radio.
Minutes until the top of the hour. Boy, it was nice having Rob Bluey on, and he tried to say Gorsuch. I can't even say it myself. Gorsuch's decision. Try to say that quickly at 6:15 in the morning.
That was good.
Try it yourself, Rebecca.
Gorsuch's decision.
See, it's not that easy,
is it?
It's not. No. If you're driving in your car, Neil Gorsuch, all right, use his last name and then the word decision. Put those two together. See how it works for you. All right. Sam Crabtree is a pastor and author. He says at Romans 12:10, we should honor one another above ourselves. He says that this analogy of what this looks like in our day-to-day lives.
Here's the way I think about outdoing one another and showing honor. I think of it as an Olympic event in the house or in the office or in the church. In the real Olympics, the way you win a gold medal in the sprints or in swimming or whatever is you have to outdo everybody else and they lose. But in outdoing everyone else in showing honor, if I do the best job around of showing honor, everybody else wins because they get more honor than I do. Because I'm outdoing them in showing honor. So I try to go for the gold in showing honor. It's a biblical exhortation right there in the text. And therefore, I think we have biblical warrant in trying to get aggressive and polished and proactive in showing honor to other people.
If you want to hear that full interview from Sam Crabtree, who's a pastor and author, go to myfaithradio.com. Check it out. Beautiful website, easy to navigate. You can type in Sam Crabtree, just the way it sounds, or you can type in Affirm Others God-Centered Way. That's a lot to remember. Crabtree's easier to remember. Type that in, you'll get there. All right, up next, Dr. Rosemary Stein from the Christian Medical and Dental Association. Be back in a minute.
To the politically correct, calling evil for what it is has become hate speech. This is Jim Garlow. As hate crimes become more and more an article of justice, anything that motivates those crimes must of necessity also be evil and subject to criminal prosecution. So much for our First Amendment right of freedom of speech. And politically correct hate speech in recent years is anything that goes against libertine sexual practices or other self-destructive decisions. Preaching God's word includes calling evil for what it is, warning people of the consequences of sin for their own good. Political correctness twists this offer of hope into hatred. A return to equal justice for all without preferential treatment to politically correct groups is the standard God has given for the benefit of us all. It's to this standard we need to hold our government accountable. There's more on this at jimgarlow.com.
For a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. The medicine go down. Medicine go down. Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. In a most delightful way.
I can never interrupt that. It makes me happy. I have Dr. Rosemary Stein from the Christian Medical and Dental Association on our studio line. Good morning, Dr. Rose.
Good morning. It makes me happy, too. It's dancing.
Good, good. I just have to give a little heads up to our listeners. The first story I want to talk to you about does involve promoting sex ed that's being taught in public schools. Just a heads up to the parents. There might be some graphic things that are said. So pause. Okay, now we're back. All right. So North Carolina parents urging to keep kids home because of the protest they're feeling over the graphic gender-bending sex ed that the students are being given.
That's right, and it's Planned Parenthood promoted. So there are big organizations, and some of them involve Planned Parenthood, but some really not good organizations, if you want to look them up. And so they're in charge of the curriculum for your children's sex ed. And it seems like many districts across the country The parents are not made aware of the date nor of the content. You sort of have a vague idea that they're going to have sex ed, maybe in sixth or seventh grade, but you don't know exactly. And it has actually gone down to elementary grade children. So some of this material has been leaked out, and we have seen it, and we have blushed. Because it's actually so pornographic that if you showed your children that, you would be, showed this to a child, you would probably be accused of molesting or grooming a child. But it's okay. It's sanctioned by our school boards, and so that's what the parents were protesting. It's not just sex ed, and some people. On even my Facebook page, I said, well, don't you think that sex ed is a good thing? I have sort of mixed feelings on that, and so it's mixed about that. But about this, I have no mixed feelings. I saw the content. I've heard about it. My actual patients have brought some of it home. They've told me what they're getting taught, and I blushed to have 11-year-olds, wow. even 14-year-olds, taught what they're being taught without the parents understanding that this, you know, this is happening right under their noses, so that at least you could do the best to put that into reality and be able to erase such graphic images from your child's mind, which are very damaging. I call it two things. I called it a form of child abuse, and the other thing that I called it is educational malpractice.
I think you're spot on with both. And why are they so sneaky about it? Well, they don't tell the parents what day that's coming up or when that training's going to take place.
I think that because really parents would get very indignant and they wouldn't understand what's going on for real. They would ask that, let me see the material so that, you know, I know what he's learning. And then the actual action of teaching your child this would be undone. And so you'd have a bigger percentage that would opt out and not learn this. And now, and even in California, you don't have the right to opt your child out of sex ed. So the child that no longer belongs, or the future of your child, the mind and the heart and the training of that child no longer belongs to the parent. It belongs to the school because you can't opt out. I don't know what happens if you don't. What, you know, are they going to take you to jail? I don't know. We don't know yet. But you can't opt out.
Mm-hmm. So as a parent, Dr. Rose, you have to get on board to make sure you're teaching and training your children on these subjects earlier than you thought you might because of what they're going to hear in school?
I think that the problem has become that more and more parents have abdicated the job of the teaching of the child very sensitive matters and very important matters. I mean, really, marriage and sex and how to face these things in life really belongs, it should be in the hands of the parent. But because so many parents were falling back on it, then the schools stepped in. And whenever there is a spot like that, government will take that void. And that void is never good for government to come in. But they found the possibility, the weakness, and it's an uncomfortable subject. So that parents they postpone it, they don't do it. We're too busy. Who wants to talk about that with your kid? They might ask me questions about myself. I don't want to answer them. And in the end, what happens is that the children are the ones that are taken over. And they never meant to be in that. They were never meant to be in that position.
Mm-hmm.
And one more thing is across the country. So there was that national day. It was yesterday. So we were hoping to get 50,000 petitions signed. Well, out of the and that's across the country. We only got 41 parents. We must have more of a heartfelt desire to step up for our kids.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be able to get this job done. We actually have to risk it, work hard to be able to save our children for the future.
I'm confused a little bit about the California schools that refuse to let parents take their kids out of the pro-LGBT sex ed classes. I guess I'm just...
It was Yeah, it's in Orange County, California, and so they put out information for the school district saying that you cannot, by law, you cannot take the child out of the sex ed, that you can't opt out anymore.
Mm-hmm.
There were too many parents that were coming over and they were opting out, and it was very important, and to be able to fulfill the requirements of the curriculum, that they needed to attend these classes, so that if you were in public education, that's way too bad. You chose public education, and therefore you had to let your child be there. Now, I don't know, like I said, I don't know what the or else was, but it was very clear that you were not allowed to take your child out.
Mm-hmm. All right, Dr. Rose, our current version of this semi-crazy world is placing so much weight on this concept of how important sexuality is in terms of your identity. How have we gotten so off the rails with that?
Well, and it's so important. It's so interesting because we're actually sort of grooming children so that they don't have a concept of their true identity, their identity in it that God has created for them. But it's okay for them to have their imaginary identity. And so we're leaving kids up to the possibility of having all sorts of mental illnesses, because when they're not going along the path of the identity that God has given them, they're going all over the place like a branch that's not pruned. And that tree doesn't do well. Well, that's how our children do. That's why we have so much mental illness, because the parents are not helping to groom that child's mind and their heart into their true identity in God. And so they're going out to all these unusual and sort of fake identities. And the school system is sanctioning for children to have fake identities. And the gender conversation is no different. The children are allowed to stay in their minds in a place that's not healthy for them in the long run. Children have imaginations. They can imagine themselves being Peter Pan or being a fireman and they're a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And that's cool because that's imagination, but it's up to a parent to realize that the child is sort of living in that place in his mind and steering the child lovingly out of there and saying, no, honey, you're a girl. You can be a firewoman someday, but you're not going to be a fireman because you're not a man. And they're like, oh, okay, Mom.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid will lovingly accept that. But when we tell the parent, you can't do that, you're harming the child by doing that, we're actually harming the child by allowing the child to stay in that imaginary place.
Well, I know I have an imagination as a successful radio host. But let me take a little break. When I come back, we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Rosemary Stein from the Christian Medical and Dental Association. Be back in a minute. Minutes until the top of the hour. Dr. Rosemary Stein is my guest from the Christian Medical and Dental Association. Dr. Stein, earlier in the show, I read about something that was going on at Penn State. Penn State says that wilderness is too risky for outdoor clubs.
Oh,
I'm not kidding.
Okay.
I wish I made this up. A century-old outdoor recreation club will now refrain from going outside because it's too dangerous out in the wilderness.
Well, I'm left without words about that one. Because
I love it.
Yeah, well, it's more of the undoing of common sense in America, and we allow it to happen. So we see these things, we shake our heads, we scratch our heads, and we just keep on going on and say, what has happened in America today? You know, and in each one of these situations, there is somebody that has been called to stand up and say something or do something about it. Maybe an old a Penn State alumnus has been called to do it, and we're just, well, that's too silly. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, but I'm
so time 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 after time, and we have to be able to stand up and say that this is silly. But I mean, you got to go outside. Was it going to be imaginary outside activities that they were going to do?
I have no idea. But what I'm trying to do is get down to the place where kids have more of a sedentary lifestyle, and it's not at all good for them, is it?
No, not at all. And then it's coming from the top down. If it's coming from our universities saying that, you know, it's outside is too risky,
uh-huh.
And then it goes down to all the communities around the universities telling us in our high schools and then in our middle and elementary schools that outdoors is too risky, which goes against all the posters we see all over the place for the Ad Council, because our kids were getting too overweight because they're not outdoors too much. So that's like, which one is it? But we know which one it is, that you know, life is risk, and you got to take the risk so that you're healthy, so that your family does well. And yes, being outdoors does carry its risk, but you know, in the long run, being inside and being on the couch and just, you know, hitting the remote is going to be more risky than going outside. But you know, life comes with risk, and you're just gonna have to take a little bit of risk every time that something might happen, and that life doesn't come with a contract saying you're going to survive this one.
Yeah. So what are happening to kids that aren't getting enough exercise, and when they come into your office, what do you see? Do you see a depression, that kind of thing? Because that's how I would be if I wasn't getting out as a kid.
Absolutely. I'm seeing kids that are overweight. They have terrible self-image because they know that they're overweight. They can't do things, so they can't throw balls because a lot of parents aren't investing the time into teaching them how to throw and how to run properly, how to shoot a basketball, how to be good at sports. So their self-image suffers because of that. They're only invested in games on TV and on their digital devices. So they don't have, like I said, an image, an identity, and they're depressed. They really are. The real nice ones, the ones with a heart, the ones with an understanding that I could do better than this, but they don't know how to express it. They're very depressed because they feel like their lives are futile. And it's up to us parents to give them an identity, to pray about it and give them an identity and teach them things that they wouldn't, you know, they're not going to get at school. But the sports and how to go outside, go hiking together now that it's spring and it's starting to be beautiful outside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you are going to take the risk. You might fall. You might break. You might even break a leg. You might hurt your ankle when you're doing some mountain biking or biking in the woods. That's okay.
Yeah.
Because you went outside. You might even have a memory from it. And just as parents, of course, we try to do things safely. We take the precautions. We protect our family. We should always be doing that. But there are no complete guarantees that
yeah.
your family is going to do completely well when you do things that are outdoors.
You might even twist your ankle on snow mountains in mall parking lots because those are big.
Imagine that. We had a couple of our employees that had that problem. You know, it can happen just getting out of the car.
I know.
But get outside, guys, and
yeah.
take the kids outside.
What about a Saving America One Child at a Time story?
Oh, that's a great one. Well, I was thinking about a young girl yesterday that I took a picture of, and she's actually only one. But she had her first birthday just a couple of days ago, and her mom brought her in. And this little girl, from a health perspective, she went through such a rocky time, and her name is Valerie. But it just killed me because back in the winter when she was coming in and she was so sick, I noticed that the mom was very depressed, and she was so sad. She was crying in the room. And I looked over at her and I said, Mom, what's going on? And this beautiful, and you'll see her face. She's so lovely, the mom. I'll post it later today. But this beautiful young lady told me, you know, I really thought that I was doing everything right and I just had my baby. But my daddy, my husband just left me, and the daddy of my child just decided that we weren't important enough and it was too much trouble. And so he skipped out on them, and he said, you know, the government will take care of you, and just left. And I thought of the heartbreak that mom was going through, and I just sat there and hugged her for a little while. And I said, you know what, I'll help take a little bit of the spot. I know your mom. She's a great lady. We'll take a little bit of the spot of the support system for you, and Valerie's going to be okay. And so we prayed for a little while, and Valerie was only about 4 to 5 months old, and mom just didn't see this happening. Well, Valerie got well. She was sick for quite a long time. I was about to send her to the hospital, and we took care of her and nurtured her back to health. And she is such a lovely, vibrant young lady. And Valerie's mom is a strong gal, so she's now reassured of herself and in the love of her family members and even her doctor that she's going to be okay and that she's going to have the strength and the knowledge that she needs to raise little Valerie up to being a woman. And that might not be the kind of story that I usually tell, but it does tell about America today that we need to be looking after our families. And if somebody steps out and doesn't stay in the role, in the identity that they're supposed to, that it's up to the family members and the support figures around that person to step into that role and fulfill that role for that mom.
That's a good word, Dr. Rose. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. And we'll be mindful of that and the people around us from that conversation. So thank you.
You're welcome. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks so much, Dr. Rose. Have a great day. In 3 minutes, we're at the top of the hour. We'll take a short break and wrap up hour one. All right, next up, leadership beef jerky, principles and practices you, my friend, can chew on. That's going to be with Dr. Greg Borgon, who's already in our green room. We'll bring him in. We've got a great second hour coming up, so stay tuned. We'll be right back. Thanks for listening to the Early Morning Late Show podcast. These conversations are available because of your prayerful and financial support. Make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the Early Morning Late Show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and grow the impact of the Early Morning Late Show.